called us into. It's not a game at all. It's something that, I mean, God himself takes seriously. That's why he's invited you and I, you know, to be part of his family. And I thank God that, you know, because every time I come to preach the word of God, I see it as an opportunity. I see it as an opportunity that God will count me worthy to share his word. It's not a make-believe. And I tell people, if it's a make-believe, if it's about make-believe, you see, I tell people in 2000, 2001, when there were five people, I would tell people, I say, look, even if you were a good preacher then, there was nobody around to appreciate what you are preaching. It is that grace and that conviction that help us to stay. And so I take God seriously, and I don't joke with him. Even when my kids were little and we have to carry them all night and do things, we do it not because there was no, in fact, we didn't have many people in town to watch or appreciate what we were doing. No, there was nobody there. We didn't do it because we wanted people to see us. And God, who rewards in secret and rewards in the open, he knows the motivation for doing what we're doing. And that is why I take seriously the preaching of the gospel. Every opportunity I have, I see it and I cherish it. Because, look, if I'm not there, God will use someone else. If you are not there, God will use someone else. And I don't see it in my place to hold God to ransom. And I don't believe God owes me anything. It is just by his grace that he has called me. And that's why I want to share with us the power that works in us. The power that works in us. That's what we want to share this morning. The power that works in us. I'm not going to take the normal passage that you expect, but we'll go back to the foundational basis of our Christianity. Let's open to John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. It's a common scripture that we all know. It said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That is the scripture I want to share with us. You agree with me that this is one of the fundamental, foundational scriptures when people are just coming to Christ. And so over the week, you know, as I was reading again, and I came across that scripture, a lot of things came to my mind. And I started asking God, you know, one or two questions. And I want to believe this morning that, you see, in every word of God, is either that God has something new in it for us, or that God wants to send his word as a reminder so that we will be what he wants us to be, or so that we can become the people that God wants us to be. So when I read that scripture, the thought that came to my mind is this. I have three kids. And as soon as my wife gave birth to them, they automatically became my children. There was no ceremony that was necessary. You know, they automatically acquire my name, and people just recognize them as my children. And so when I read this scripture, and it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I said, but But why would God write this? That as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Why was it not written that as many as received him, to them he gave that, you know, transformation. To them he gave the authority to become his children. To them he gave the go ahead. You know, to them he gave. And I said, why would God use the word power? Why power? Why would God choose to use power? Why do you need power to become a child of God? Instead of God just simply saying, as many as received Jesus, he suddenly turned them to his children, but rather he gave them power to become the children of God. And I remember the basic things in physics. Many of us will remember inertia. I may not be able to quote exactly the way we used to learn it for our exams in those days. But the law of inertia basically says that an object will remain static where it is or continue in the same line of motion except a force is applied to it. Am I right? The object, when you place an object somewhere, the object will remain in that place. Or, if it's been going in one direction before, it will continue in the same direction until a force is applied to it. And I remember also from basic physics that power is the ability to do work. So, why is it that instead of simply just translating us, God gives us the power to become his children? Then it means that if power is coming into the equation, it means that some work is also coming into the equation. And of course, we know that the word power is used a lot in the Bible. Power is used a lot in the Bible. The commonest one that we know is in Acts 1:8, where the Bible says that power will come upon us after we have received the Holy Spirit. And of course, those of us who, it's common knowledge that the power there being referred to is the dunamis. That is the dynamic power. The explosive power that it will come upon us. When it comes upon us, then God said we'll be going out and ministering. But the power here in John 1:12 is exousia, which is delegated power. It's delegated power, that is the power that God delegates to people upon receiving Jesus and believing in him. And of course, what does it mean to receive Jesus? To receive Jesus does not end with just confessing Jesus. To receive Jesus is to accept what Jesus is in his entirety. To receive Jesus is to believe what Jesus says. To receive Jesus is to do what Jesus says. So when we read the word receive there, what the Bible is saying to us is this, that when we come to him and we receive him, receive Jesus as the Son of God who has died for the sin of the world, and of course receive him in his entirety, that is his words and his promises, as yea and amen, he says, a power is given unto us that makes us the children of God. If we confess Jesus and only confess him alone, and we have not received Jesus, and Jesus in his entirety, and Jesus has not become Lord, because when somebody becomes Lord, what they say carries weight with you. When somebody becomes Lord, what they say, you are careful to do what they say. When you say somebody becomes Lord indeed, you follow their instructions. And I think that is something that has been coming on and on and on and on in the church. So when we come to accept Jesus that way, the Bible says that there is a delegated power. That there is a delegated power that comes from God to us. Why does it bear reminding us? I've said this is a basic scripture. Why do we need to remind ourselves of this? It is very important that we start to remind ourselves of the gifts that are in you based on prophecy and the laying on of hands. Which means, the possibility is that Timothy might not have had the gifts before because he did not say that laying on of hands and prophecy brought up the gifts that were in him. He's saying that the gifts were probably not there before, but by reason of laying on of hands on Timothy, certain gifts came upon him. He received some divine things by reason of Paul and the other elders laying hands on him, that he was now capable to do certain things as a result of the prophecy. And possibly that he had not started operating in those areas of his life. And Paul had to draw his attention to it to begin to operate in those realms or in those areas of giftings that the laying on of hands has brought upon him. So in other words, when we stand before God here, it is possible if we as a people are willing to make commitment to the Lord and say, God, this is the way I want to relate to you. This is who I want to be in your kingdom. This is the relationship I want to have. But hitherto, I've not had the ability to do these things. So it is possible for people to lay hands on you, and from that time, certain things will begin to manifest in you. But the attitude must be right. The attitude must be right. You remember not long ago, we talked about expectation. That when we come before God, whether a little boy is preaching or an old man or whoever is preaching, who is sharing, that we have to come with expectation before him. Expectation will do a lot of things in our lives when we come before God like this. So they lay hands on Timothy, and by reason of that impactation, certain things started happening that he probably was not aware of, and he was asked to bring forth those things and not neglect them. There was a man in the Bible who walked in the midst of plenty, but he probably did not realize it just because of attitude. Lot is the name of this man. You see, when the promise went to Abraham, the promise was for Abraham alone. In fact, you remember God asked him to leave his family, leave his kindred, leave his, every member of his family, leave them behind, and go after the promise that had been made him. But what did Abraham do? Abraham left, but he did not go alone. He took with him his nephew. And of course, the problem with Lot was that he related to Abraham as his uncle. He never related to Abraham as a prophet of God. And that was why when it came to choosing, when a choice had to be made, and the man just looked at, look, he should have been afraid. When his uncle said to him, here is the land. Look at it. Choose which way you want. Choose the one. Whatever you have taken, whatever is left, I will take it. If he had recognized Abraham as a man of God, this man should have been afraid to actually make a choice and say, look, I'm going to take this. He should have trembled before him. But he related to Abraham as his uncle. But despite that, God wanted to bless him, but you know the way he went. That is why it is possible when we gather together, the elders, whoever, the pastor may lay hands on us and nothing will happen until our attitude changes to the things of God. We may read the word of God, not even people laying hands on us, we may read the word of God and nothing will happen until our attitude changes towards the word of God. When there is a change of attitude, the word of God is able to bring forth in our lives. The word of God will bring forth in your life today in Jesus' name. The word of God now becomes capable of bringing forth, of doing certain things in our lives. Because of what? Because of attitude change. Because when we come before him, we are expecting. It doesn't matter who is going to preach. It doesn't matter who is going to speak that day. You know, for some people, if they have not had T.D. Jakes, you have not spoken. If they've not had Joyce Myers, nobody has spoken. If they've not had Creflo Dollars, they have not had the word of God. But I can tell you that merely reading the word of God can impact on somebody's life. What happened to the children of Israel when they were going to rebuild the broken city? Prophet Ezra did what? He just read the word. He read the word. He read the word before the people, and people became convicted, and people's hearts melted before them, and people wept before the Lord, and people changed just reading the word. It's a matter of attitude. If our attitude is right, God has not changed. He's still the same. That power, he say, I am God, I change not. He has not changed. What he did in those days, he's still able to do. That is why it is worth reminding us again of where we started from with the Lord. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Exousia. That's the power that, you know, that God has ceded to us by reason of our coming to him. We don't want that power to start to, you know, lie dormant. And like I've said to us before, it is not just for our sake. If you don't want to use it, think of someone else that may benefit from what God can use you to do. If you think you don't need God, or if you think that God has done enough for you, think of someone else that God can use you to minister to, that God can use you to touch, and for their sake, get closer to God so that we can profit, not the kind of Wall Street profiting. I'm sure many of us have been reading articles about, you know, people are now talking about morality. People are talking, look, you see, we are going full circle. Some of the things we have abandoned, we are going back to them. People are now saying, you see, when you have capitalism without morality, that it cannot work. They are beginning to discover. Because we got to a point where we all that mattered is how to make money. And so the people in Wall Street, it doesn't matter how many families will be, you know, how many families will be in trouble, how many families will get into the, you know, will not be able to pay back their mortgages. It doesn't matter. Do you know, some of us may say, look, this is for a short while, it's going to change. Do you know some people are dying as we speak now? Do you know some people are committing suicide because of this? For them, even if things change tomorrow, it doesn't matter. If it changes next week, it doesn't matter. But let me tell you, the greed and the immorality of some people are causing those people to go to their grave early. Because we got to a point that all that matter is money. And we were talking about money this morning. It has become, look, let me tell you, that is why it is even very difficult for Christians to trust each other. Because people believe, even when you are good to people, they think that there must be something in it for you. No, it's true. They will think that there must be something in need that you are benefiting. Otherwise, you can't be good. You cannot be. You see, it cannot. If you say it's the word because God has said this, they will say, no, it's not. It's not possible. There must be something he's benefiting from it. Otherwise, he cannot do what he's doing. Why? Because we have elevated money. We've elevated money to the position of God. That we now come to a point that we think. Or believe that whatever we do, there has to be an underlying benefit in it. We have to move beyond that. Paul said, that Timothy should bring forth the gift in him. Let it come out. Let it come out. Because hands have been laid on him. And we are told this morning that there's a power, that God gave us power as a result of coming to him. The power to become. So, that, in other words, God did not just transform us. He gave us that power that translates us, that transforms us, the power that is capable of changing or bringing about a change in us. He could simply have changed us, but now he just gave us the power that is capable of bringing about a change. I've told us that power will not come into the equation except something needs to be done. Because power is the ability to do work. It's not our own power, it's the power of God that he deposits in us and is able to bring about a change. I don't know how many of us are familiar with this. There's a new album by Hillsong. One of the songs there talks about this power. You know, it says, the power that conquered the grave lives in me. The love that rescued the earth lives in me. You see, each time I sing this song, I don't know if I can sing it well. That same power that conquered the graves lives in me. Lives in me. The same love that rescued the earth lives in me. Oh, lives in me. You know, when you see, each time I sing that song, my hair will just stand. When I first sang it, I started to question myself. He said, the same power that conquered the grave, it lives in me, inside of me, you know? And I begin to ask myself, that same power, the same power that was in Jesus Christ is in you. That is why it's a delegated power that, you know, the same kind of power that Jesus had is what God has taken and grafted into you to be able to become his son, because it is something that comes from the kingdom. The power does not come from elsewhere, it's from the kingdom. And so God had to graft that same power in the kingdom to you to become part of the kingdom. And so when I sing this song, I say, God, why then? We were told this morning, that some of us might say, it is not possible for me to not do this. It's not possible for me not to do this. But remember, it is that same power that was in Jesus. The same power that conquered the grave. The same love that rescued the earth. It says, is in you. It lives in you. In other words, except we have not truly met him, except we have not truly received him. If we have truly received him, if we have truly met him, when the word of God comes, the question should not be whether the word is true or not. It should not be whether we want to do it or not. It should be, look, I'm going to start to implement it. Before now, my eyes were not open. I didn't know that this is what the word of God says. But now that I've come in contact with that word, because the Bible says that power is in us, the ability to do. And honestly, the power in your flesh, if it is enough, God will not need to give you extra power to do that which he wants you to do. And somebody said that the power of God is not for doing small stuff. The power of God, you don't call on the supernatural if the natural is okay. Do we? If the natural is capable and is enough, you don't call on the supernatural. It is when the natural starts to fail that you call on the supernatural. And God is saying that he has deposited the supernatural into us to be able to do supernatural things and not the routine things of life. This power helps us to overcome some resistance. And the resistance can come from a lot of sources. First, it can come from us, who we are, our personality style. You know, I happen to I don't need to say it again. You know, I'm into psychiatry. Praise the Lord. And honestly, one of the things that psychiatry believes is most difficult to change is personality. That is why when you go to people and say you are born again, they will say, if they heard that somebody has killed before and he now says, no, I've changed, they'll say no. Because personality is a deeply ingrained way of doing things, you know, of approaching things, of viewing things, of, you know, it's a deeply ingrained thing. But we know that when somebody comes to Jesus, that power that we receive can transform the life of the individual. We know that that power that we receive can change things. That's why God didn't just turn us around. He gave that power. He put that power in us. He ceded that power to us in order to be able to do things differently from the way we used to do things, so that we can overcome some barriers that we used to encounter. Oh, some of us will say, look, in our family, that's the way we are. When we are angry, well, you see, you don't know my family. In my family, when we are angry, we just punch people and remove two teeth from them. You don't know me. You don't know my family. When we are angry, we break everything in the house, and by tomorrow, the whole thing is settled. But Jesus is saying that there's a power. There's a power that comes from receiving him to break the yoke, to break everything that has to do with family, that's the way I've grown up. Otherwise, some of us will not be able to be here to actually preach the gospel, if you know me. We won't be able to even stand before you and preach the gospel. It is the power of God that transforms. Is the one that works on our flesh. It is the natural man wants to do things the way it pleases him. The natural one, you know, and there are a lot of things we have learned over the years. But it is when this power comes upon us that gives us that ability to do things that seem impossible. I've told us before, I hate to be called brother before, because I didn't want to be associated with SUs. You know, but now I like to be called brother. Praise the Lord. I want to be identified with Jesus. I want to be identified with Jesus. It is when that power comes into our life that humility becomes possible. Without that power, we cannot be humble. We may hear the word of God from now till tomorrow. That's what makes the difference. That's why some people will read the Bible, and to them it's just like a story. When some Christians have lost that power, that is why nothing seems to be happening in their lives anymore. It's the power that makes us humble. Because the flesh in us wants to rise up all the time. It wants to assert itself. It wants to fight for itself. It wants to say, look, let me tell you, it's not easy for someone to abuse you and you just keep quiet. It takes the grace of God. If you see somebody who keep quiet, who has no Christ, and you just simply keep quiet like that, let me tell you something, he's planning something that he will do in return. He knows that the only reason, because he doesn't want to be caught in the act with you, he will not say anything. He knows that he's going to get you back. But it is only the power of Christ in us that helps us to take insults and still, painful as it may be, and still walk with our head straight. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, we'll have been broken. He said, look, is that power in us that makes us to give instead of wanting to withhold or take from people? That makes you to do things not because of what you want to get back from it. It's not easy. A lot of people, they give millions and so on, you know, because they want to get tax break. They want tax break. You hear that somebody gave 10 million, give that. They want to get tax break. It's good. I'm not saying it's not good, but it is only the power of Jesus working in us that allows us to give without expecting to receive in return. And that power has the ability to break external resistance also. Every opposition to the plan and purpose of God in our lives, that power is able to break it and bring us to where God wants us to be. The success of Jesus' ministry, was it based on popularity or the number of people that were supporting him? The high priests that were in his ministry? No. No. His success was actually built on opposition. That is why you will see that the places where the gospel thrive are the places where the gospels are opposed. The gospel tends to thrive more where the gospel is opposed. And when you come to a place like this where there is no open opposition, I tell you there is opposition. Oh, there is opposition. When you talk about a new meditation style from the Eastern countries, everybody, it comes in vogue. Everybody will join in. You mentioned the name of Jesus. There was a time we used to have our daily list of patients and we'll write their religion in front. And you know, people came up and said, how can, it's a private thing. Why do you have to write their religion in front? And I said, look, when you write somebody's religion in front, how does it affect them? And I said, but in the same patient, okay, the same patient, we write their dates of birth in front. Don't you know that today if you call Testra, if you call one company or something, and you know my date of birth, as well as my address, you access my, you know, whatever, you make changes to my things. And I said, why are we not hiding the date of birth from people and we want to hide their religion? You don't want them to be called Christian. You don't want, the opposition is there, but we refuse to recognize it. We just think, oh, because nobody is saying anything, we think it's, oh, it's okay. The people, you remember I've told us before, I used to pray with some pastors and they say, let us pray. You say, thank God, let's begin to thank God for this wonderful country we are in, you know, that we can worship freely and so on. I used to pray with them. So one day, the Spirit of God just told me not to pray that prayer with them again. And I told them, and I said, no, I'm not praying this prayer with you. They said, why? I told them, I said, have you read Heavenly Man? Yonggi Cho, Brother Yoon. I said, have you read that book? They said, no. I said, look, go and read that book very well. Do you see how the church is prospering in China? And within a few years, there were about 50 million Christians not able to meet openly like we are meeting. They meet in the basements. They meet, yes, in hidden places. Why do you think the gospel prospered? Because there was opposition to them. Where there was opposition to them, the gospel will prosper. The gospel of Jesus prospered because there was opposition. After he died, you see, opposition arose. And that was the power of the gospel, you know, it came forth. When we become too comfortable, we think, I keep telling people, I said, the way for the devil to get us not to be good Christians is to make sure all our prayers are answered. When everything starts to work well, honestly, how many of us will remember to pray? Do you fast the way you used to fast? We don't pray as much as we used to. When things start to work well, we forget. Sometimes somebody said not to call the devil foolish, but I'm telling you, he's a bit foolish. Because he should just not oppose people. He should let them succeed. Let them succeed. And honestly, you talk about Christ, they will just look. Nobody wants to share Christ with you again. But the Bible says there's a power that has been released into us. And power is not meant, it's not for play. It's meant to do work. It's meant to bring about changes. It's meant to do things in the lives of people. Talking about opposition. When that power is in you, opposition becomes your bicycle. It becomes your car that you ride to where God wants to take you to. Praise the Lord. How do I know this? I went over the story of Joseph again. You see, apart from the fact that Joseph actually dreamt, please tell me, what did he do actively that positioned him where he got to? And the dream itself, he was not even in control of the dream. Praise the Lord. The only thing he did was that he told people about his dreams. If you look at how he became what he became, it was not within his power. In fact, it was opposition that took him there without knowing. It was opposition that took Jesus to the cross without knowing. Because he said, had they known, they would not have killed the King of Glory. Because if they had known what was going to become of him, that his later end was going to be greater than the former, they would not have killed him. So are you facing opposition? Ride on it. Ride on it. Oh, I'm telling you, ride on it. Because it's taking you to where God wants you to be. I say it's taking you to where God wants you to be. One thing about the story of Joseph too is this, that just came to, I've never looked at it that way before. And God was just telling me that we have to be careful the kind of decisions we take or make. Do you know that the brothers of Joseph, because they just look at, this is Joseph, our little brother. And suddenly he came, one time he dreamt and said, he saw all of us bowing down before him. How can this be? And the guy had the audacity again to come and said, the sun and the moon with the 11 stars. He came and told them, it means mommy and daddy and us will be bowing to this stupid boy. And you know what? And they took counsel. And Reuben said, look, I don't want his blood on our hand. And Reuben probably went away because when they sold Joseph, Reuben was not there. Now, look at it this way. God had predicted that the children of Israel will go into captivity. He said they will go to another land where they are not, you know, into captivity, basically. God had said it. But what God did not say was when it was going to happen. And he did not say which generation in which it was going to happen. But that word came forth. You know what? The brothers then decided they were going to sell Joseph. And in the process, because they did not want to serve Joseph, look at this. Because they did not want to serve Joseph. The counsel of God became fulfilled in Joseph's life. Because he went to Egypt, he became a minister, right? The bowing down that they did not want to do to him, they came there to bow down before him. Because God did not specify that Joseph had to go to Egypt to become a minister. It is impossible for them to remain where they were and the counsel of God will be fulfilled in the life of Joseph. But in the process of frustrating him, they followed him to Egypt, not only to bow down before him, they enslaved their children for 400 years. And I want to say to you, that the counsel of God will come to pass in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Because there is a power that works in you. You see, the reason I'm telling you all this story is this, that when that power is in you, nothing can frustrate the purpose of God for your life. Because there is a difference between the power of God that works in you and the power of God that works through you. What they receive in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it's the power of God that works through them to preach the gospel, to say to the lame to rise, and so. But there's the power of God that works in you. That one is not subject to the limitation of man. Even when you have no part in it, God will bring his purpose to a conclusive end in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, there is that power. There is that power that works in you. It's called the power of God. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. That is why you will ride on opposition to get to where God wants you to be. To get to where God wants you to be. Look at Ephesians in closing. Let's quickly look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. The brethren didn't want to bow, so they bowed, and their children started bowing to the Egyptians. That is why every obstacle in your life will bow in Jesus' name. I say every obstacle in your life will bow in the mighty name of Jesus. He said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's talking about God being able to do above that which, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, there are two things that I want us to take note there. If God is able to do abundantly more or above that which we ask or think, okay, one way to look at it is that we can ask God for one thing, ask God for one chair, and God will give you 20 chairs. But remember, it is the same thing, chairs, right? Good. So maybe you never thought 20 chairs was possible, and God gave you, you asked for one, God gave you 20. The other way to look at it is this, is that God, we ask God for something. What God will do in your life by reason of the power that he has deposited in you is not just give you one of the same kind, but the kind of thing that has not entered your imagination. The kind of things that you have not, that you are not even capable of thinking of. The kind of thing that you have never seen before that God will do in your life. That is the nature of the power that works in us. That is the nature of the power that comes when we receive him. He said, as many as receive him, to them give he power to become sons of God. Who become sons of God. There's a power that comes from the kingdom that is seeded unto you. That causes multiplication. That causes creation. That causes things to be created in the supernatural in our lives. There's only power that the power comes from only one source. It comes from God. It comes from God. Praise the Lord. Please, can we just rise up on our feet? I don't know if we know, I don't know how many of us know the song. The same power that conquered the graves lives in me. Lives in me. The same love that rescued the earth lives in me. Lives in me. The same power that conquered the graves lives in me. Oh, lives in me. And same love that rescued the earth lives in me. Oh, lives in me. Same power that conquered the graves lives in me. It lives in me. Same love that rescued the earth lives in me. He lives in me. Same power that conquered the grace lives in me. He lives in me. And same love that rescued the earth lives in me. Oh, he lives in me. He lives in me. Can you just reach unto God? Can you just reach unto God this afternoon? It says, the same power that conquered the grave. Can you imagine how big that power is? The power that brings the dead into life again is in you. That love that conquered the earth is in you. Can you just ask that God just manifest your glory in my life? Manifest your glory in my life. Just ask God to manifest his glory in your life. Manifest your glory in my life, oh Lord. Manifest your glory. Ah, Lord Jesus, manifest your glory in my life. Manifest your glory, oh Lord. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because that power is able to raise the dead. That power is able to change every situation. That power is able to heal the sick. That same power, it lives in me. It lives in me. It lives in me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your name, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because you are so true. You have not changed. You remain the same, oh Lord. Blessed be your name, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Please, if you I believe the power of God is here. You believe you need prayer for any particular situation in your life, not just physical healing, but any particular situation in your life, please. If you want to come out, just come out right now. Let's pray with you. That same power that, you know, that conquered the grave is here. That same power that conquered the grave is here. Is here. That power that can create is here. The power that can heal, the power that can turn fortunes and situations around is here. Let's just quickly pray with you. That same power. You see, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, children of God. He gave you power. That same power is here this afternoon. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, receive of him in the mighty name of Jesus, because the power and the glory of the Lord is upon you. Oh, yeah, the power that can translate life, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power is upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. We call it forth in the mighty name of Jesus, because as many as received him, to them gave him power. Delegated power has been given unto you. Let it arise within you. Oh yes, you will not be able to put up with anything that is short of what God has said concerning your life. The power that is able to translate your life and take you to the place and the purpose of God for your life will release it upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive of him tonight, this afternoon. Receive of him in the mighty name of Jesus. Ibo, libo, shekebalengata.